Well, across the U.S., new cases of COVID-19 are up 19% from just 2 weeks ago. Public health experts are concerned. They're watching that second wave of virus crest in Europe. Meanwhile, President Trump is now back on the campaign trail at a rally in Florida last night, saying he has beaten the coronavirus.
I went through it. Now they say I'm immune. I feel so powerful. I'll walk into that audience. I'll walk in there. I'll kiss everyone in that audience. I'll kiss the guys and the beautiful women and everybody. I'll just give you a big fat kiss.
Big fat kiss. Dr. Jennifer Nuzzo is lead epidemiologist for the Johns Hopkins COVID-19 Testing Insights Initiative. And Dr. Nuzzo, a couple questions here. It's the president's doctor, Sean Conley, who says the president has tested negative for the coronavirus. But help us understand, can you test negative right after being sick as he was and still be shedding virus and infecting people?
Yeah, so I think what that test was really aimed at was trying to establish whether the president was going to be contagious. But what he was talking about was whether he's immune. And we really don't know much about whether you are immune after becoming infected. In fact, there was just a report yesterday of somebody who was infected twice and the second infection was worse than the first. And so that's really something that we have to worry about. So I don't think anybody who hears the president should at all be reassured that just because they had it once means that they can't have it again or that they can't give it to somebody. And that, I think, is a really worrisome assertion.
Right. This was a 25-year-old in Nevada who got it twice. And there are cases elsewhere outside this country of people who seem to have gotten it twice. I mean, if all the testing is to be believed. And so maybe you can test negative, maybe even have antibodies, meaning that you fought off COVID-19. And so you're saying this might mean that you may not be completely immune. You might be, be able to catch it down the road.
Yeah, I mean, we think that there's probably going to be some level of immunity, but that perhaps the immunity can wane with some time. And we're still very much learning. We don't know if this report is sort of a one-time occurrence in a small number of cases or if it's something that others can expect. But I don't think anybody should take away that, you know, just because they've had it before, if they know someone who's had it before, that that means that they are completely safe. That would be quite a dangerous conclusion.
Well, I'm sure you're watching these clusters that are coming, Wisconsin, serious outbreaks, the University of Alabama, for instance. What do you think? Is this just we didn't really snuff out the first wave, or is this the beginning of a second wave?
Yeah, so we are, you know, first of all, epidemiologists don't usually talk about waves as data are rolling in. But reason to think that we are still on the first wave is that we never really went down to baseline in the same way that maybe some other countries did. What we've seen is that we've had a few dips here and there, but the dips, quickly rose again. And I think what is more likely happening is we're seeing the effects of, case numbers rise and people get concerned and then new restrictions are put in place. But then after some time, people begin to kind of relax those restrictions and the case numbers come right back.
Well, we're looking at New York City. The daily cases there just hit 500 again. That's the first time since June. Some of the outbreaks there have to do with the ultra-Orthodox Jewish community in Brooklyn, for instance, refusing restrictions. But are you also thinking about, you know, fall, cooler months, people indoors with air trapped there?
I think most epidemiologists are really worried about the fall. One, because of that, just that, the weather. Our ability to socialize is made a little bit easier if we can keep it outside. And as the weather gets cooler, it obviously becomes a lot harder to do that. But we're also worried about the fact that people are tired and they really just want to be around loved ones and friends. And so it really becomes hard to adhere to those public health messages to kind of keep your distance and limit your contacts. And so those two things put together, fewer outdoor options and people really naturally wanting to get together, unfortunately creates a situation where we could see a steep rise in cases.
Well, the other day, Dr. Birx of the task force said that even families and people who live together who might have thought of themselves as a pod, when you are in homes and in places together, you should still wear a mask. Do you agree?
That's true. I mean, I think the challenge with the pod is that not everybody has the exact same exposure. Some folks go to work. Some folks do have some social interactions outside of the pod. And so that always raises the possibility that somebody could have become infected when they were, you know, doing something else. And One way to reduce the likelihood of spreading it to others is to keep your distance and wear a mask and do all those measures that we always talk about. These measures are, you know, we apply them in a layered effect, and they serve to reduce your risk. And, you know, I think there's some danger in just assuming that, you know, you're completely safe just because it's your family.
Yeah. And by the way, just briefly, we know Johnson & Johnson just announced they're hitting pause on one of their vaccine trials. But that could mean the system's working, right? That's what you're supposed to do if someone gets sick, as they did.
Absolutely. That's exactly it. It shows that the clinical trials are working. When you see an event, obviously, you have to stop and try to figure out what's causing it and make sense of it. And hopefully we'll hear some you know, more information about what happened.
Dr. Jennifer Nuzzo of Johns Hopkins COVID-19 Testing Insights Initiative, thank you.
Thanks so much.